Today on Seculo, as the midterms loom, we'll break down the Oz-Fetterman debate. We're going to be joined by Senator Marsha Blackburn as well to talk politics, and former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. You don't want to miss the broadcast today.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Hey, welcome to Seculo. We are taking your calls, 201-800-684-3110. We'll have to get to most of those the second half hour of the broadcast. We got a packed first half hour of the broadcast coming to you. In the next segment, Mike Pompeo will be joining us live, then Senator Marsha Blackburn. We're going to be talking politics, of course, as we're out less than 2 weeks from midterm election day, and a big debate last night, which could, again, one of these races that could determine the balance of power in the U.S. Senate, the Oz-Fetterman debate. And this was one that there was going to be a lot of attention on because of Fetterman specifically and the stroke and how that would work in a debate setting and how, you know, Dr. Oz would handle that situation, because it's not easy to be him in that situation dealing with somebody who everyone knows has got this issue, a cognitive issue as well. By the way, I think that most have agreed now that this was more than just a hearing issue. That's how the Fetterman campaign said initially he just needed, you know, the text. Then they complained that the text was too fast or too slow. The truth is he's a far left liberal, and on a lot of issues, the moderators asked pretty simple questions to him, like, you said in 2018 you're against fracking, now you're for fracking. What's your position? All he said is, I support fracking. I mean, he could not have a discussion. That was the problem with Fetterman. He could not even have a discussion to his own questions. So really, it wasn't a debate between Oz and Fetterman. It was like, pick who you'd like to be representing your state, really. Because they didn't get much back and forth. I think that was smart for Oz, because it would look like he was bullying.
No, I think, look, this was not an easy situation for Dr. Oz, because you've got a candidate that is significantly impaired. I mean, that was clear. And, you know, we all feel sorry for him, and we feel sad and for him and his family, and we know what they're going through a lot in dealing with this. But Dr. Oz had a debate. So I think the smart thing was, I mean, this is like a court case. You got to read the room. And in reading the room, his best plan was, I'm going to address the issues head on. I'm going to discuss the issues head on, but what I'm not going to do is go after him. He never went after him really personally. It was on some policy issues, never a personal attack. I think that was smart. Now, having said that, the truth is this is still going to be a 2% race.
Yeah.
Because the parties are so locked in, it doesn't matter whether the person has the cognitive capability or not. It's so RD late, you know, Republican Democrat aspect, that's just the way it is.
Yeah, and I think there's a big question, too, is why did Democrats and the campaign staff for Fetterman push him to do this?
Yes.
You know, there have been people who have been successful without going to debates. You could just say he can't debate right now. But I think they tried to play this game that, it's really the party's dealing with now is just a hearing issue, and it's not cognitive. And then everybody who watched it said, that has got to be more than a hearing issue. This was very sad to watch. This was kind of disturbing to watch, and a little bit disgusting on the Democrats' part for pushing him forward.
You know, putting him out there like that, I think, was really, you know,
I don't know why his own family didn't step up and say, don't.
That's what I don't understand. But you know what?
They get obsessed with power.
It's the politics of the moment are so intense on both sides of this that it's just the normal rules you'd have in play just don't exist. Having said that, like I said, it's going to be a really close race. I think this was I think it was plus for Dr. Oz.
Definitely. He had a great night.
His answers were very right on the money.
Clear, and easy to understand.
Yeah, and he didn't overplay. You know, they called him Mr. Oz. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
Instead of Doctor. And that may have been intentional on the campaign's part.
Yeah, usually more they come up with that stuff before. All that's agreed to. How we're going to address you, how you're going to, you know, what you can't, how long you have to talk. It's quick. It's only an hour. And again, what I also thought it showed, too, was that there's a way to get back to presidential debates if we have moderators who just ask questions.
Yes.
Like, you notice after News Nation, the moderators just asked questions.
I thought News Nation did a very good job.
And that's a way we could possibly get back to actually maybe having presidential debates, is take out these big name debate moderators and just have, you know, news anchors that ask questions that the American people want answers to. We'll be right back with Mike Pompeo. one thing I like doing on this broadcast when we get close to election day is we're in the studio, is we're able to go to our experts and folks who are out on the campaign trail all around the country. One of those folks, our senior counsel for global affairs, former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, who's traveling the country for House candidates, for Senate candidates. They're seeing what's happening on the ground. And Secretary Pompeo, I appreciate you being here. You got a new piece up at ACLJ.org. The Biden administration is crushing the American family, and you say that the Biden administration's attempt to supplant the family with big government is systematically crushing the American family. This should terrify us all. What ways do you see the Biden administration carrying this policy out?
Jordan, it's great to be with you. I'm actually calling in from Texas today, out helping good candidate conservatives win here in Texas. And this issue of family, Jordan, is so foundational. The ACLJ has been the center of protecting it for decades. And you see it in so many ways, right? The first, the things everybody can see and touch, right? Family's more at risk. You don't want your kids to go outside and play because you think it's unsafe. You can't ride the metro. You can't park your car in a parking garage without feeling threatened by crime. You know, 12% inflation. That's essentially one paycheck a year, 1/12 of your income gone as a result of inflation. This has a huge impact on ordinary families all across the country. You know, their solution to that is forgive some student debt and provide more federal money for universal daycare, essentially supplanting basic ideas of being personally responsible and taking care of your own and having parents raise the children. This is bad for America and bad for the American family, and the Biden administration has made it as bad as we have seen in the last 25 years.
Mike, you know, you cannot even go to a school board meeting right now as a parent without being the fear of being labeled. See, I'm not kidding, a domestic terrorist if you disagree with a school board policy or if you just want your voice heard. I mean, we used to encourage people. The first line of defense was go to the school board meeting and make sure you're actively engaged in what's happening in your local school. But now a parent does that. You're talking about crushing the American family, and the parents can be labeled, you know, extremists and subject to who knows what, including arrest.
Oh, Jay, I wrote about this in that piece on ACLJ.org, this exact issue. You've got it right. So first they lock the kids out of school, and then they want to lock the parents up. We're trying to fix what's going on in the schools. In literally the case, you had moms and grandpas going to school board meetings saying, you can't put this stuff in our kids' library. You can't teach our kids that America is a racist nation. Simple ideas that were accepted across a broad range of the political spectrum for decades in America. And the radical left, the extremist left, has moved us so far from that. And then you have a Justice Department and FBI declaring that these parents who go to these school board meetings may well be white supremacist domestic terrorists. This is dangerous. It's deeply inconsistent with America and its founding. And I am counting on the American people to begin to reclaim the country here in just 13 days.
Yeah, when you're traveling around the country, too, so now you're in Texas, I would imagine that the issues are similar. In Texas, it might be that the border takes up maybe is number one a top issue because they're dealing with it so much there, and of course illegal immigration. But it seems like it's the economy. Again, this is the economy and feeling safe. Both those issues, economy and crime, and of course, I mean, what's going on internationally too. People don't really like the way that America looks to the rest of the world.
Goodness, so true. I was in Iowa earlier. I was in the Carolinas. I'm headed to Florida tonight. Every place I go, the American family is suffering from these same things, and they're all connected to Jordan. You actually laid it out perfectly. If you have a soft southern border and you allow 4 million people in the course of 20 months, there's more drugs in the street, you have the risk of more crime, and people feel less economically secure and less personally safe. So you're right, different slight parties where they go, but people can feel the uncertainty and the insecurity that has resulted from intentional decisions that the Biden administration made. I'll add, too, you're down in Texas. You can't do this without talking about energy. Every family is going to pay 25 or 30% more for electricity to heat their home or natural gas to heat their home this winter. That is going to be a cost that is enormous on the American family, and people are tired of it. It didn't have to be. These were political choices that were made by a president who tells us that the economy is strong as hell. When people are suffering, they can see that's not true, and I'm confident they're going to make a change.
Mike, you know, when your administration was in power, just we're talking less than 2 years ago. I mean, to see the world has changed in 24 months is mind-boggling. I mean, gas is again. I just noticed here where our media studios are that gas again is kind of crossed the $5 threshold. for unleaded, and that was it was down a little bit, and then it popped back up. A bottle of ketchup is $8. I mean, the American family is really struggling on this. And then you look at the border, and you're in Texas right now, and you've got, you know, literally in the dozens of terrorists being picked up on the watch list. And I'm saying to myself, and the reaction of the Biden administration is whatever you all were doing, do the opposite. But the American people are realizing the opposite is not working.
They can see it, Jay. And as much as the Biden administration want to says, don't believe your eyes, the American people can believe their eyes. President Biden says the economy is strong as hell. They know it's not true. Kamala Harris and the Secretary of Homeland say, hey, our border is secure. The American people can see that's not true. They tell us that our schools are performing just fine. And then we get the test scores from this last week showing that locking kids out of school for 2 years was a bad idea. And we knew it, Jay. We knew it when we did it. And they went with articles of faith and not science. And this has profoundly hurt the American economy. And to your point around the world, the whole world's watching America, and they're seeing that we have become unmoored from our traditions, and that presents risk, whether that's Vladimir Putin invading Ukraine or what Xi Jinping has intentions on. We have to get it right here. The American people are counting on it.
Yeah, I've got one. I want to follow up on the international thing, and I know George got a question too. And that is the administration, Biden administration, announced today that they're going to put in place sanctions against individuals associated with the Iranian regime while they're negotiating a deal that's going to expire before the deal would come into place. I mean, this is like insane. How dangerous is this situation in Iran? And we've got still millions. I will tell you this: we were contacted yesterday by relatives of people in Iran in jail. No, they're not given any, there's no judicial system there that's for real. And I mean, they have one, but it doesn't do anything. And we're in a situation now where we're looking at taking possibly some of these cases to the UN's Committee on Arbitrary Detention. But it's like the administration, by getting into this deal, is going to prop up the very leadership that is suppressing and repressing these women protesters.
It's crazy. Absolutely crazy. So I'm happy that they put a few sanctions on folks who've done some bad stuff to the Iranian people. And what's happening to the Iranian people breaks my heart. But mostly what President Biden and Rob Malley and the gang have done is they've provided resources and succor and encouragement to the Iranian regime that is causing enormous harm to the Iranian people and putting our friend and ally, the nation of Israel, at real risk. The fact that they are still contemplating entering into a nuclear agreement, which in the best case will delay Iran's nuclear program by a couple of years, is totally inconsistent with the understanding of providing security for the American people as well. And I promise you, one of the challenges that we face today with the Arab nations is that they see America sucking up.
May have lost him.
Yeah, let's see. Secretary Pompeo, are you there?
We'll try to get him back. We'll try to get him back. You know, yeah. He's down there in Texas right now on the borders. We got him back. Go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to ask this question too. We just got a couple minutes here. The Saudis the Saudi oil minister, who is a directly related to the Crown Prince, put out a statement. Didn't name the U.S., but said that those administrations that are using strategic oil reserves that are manipulating markets, that, quote, it may be painful for months to come. So they're now seeing even the move by the Biden administration to dip into the strategic oil reserve. We've all talked about why it's a bad idea. They're using it for politics as a direct shot at them in this continued rift between the U.S. and Saudis.
It's an enormous upending of what the Trump administration delivered, the work that we did in the Middle East. We built the Abraham Accords. We isolated Iran. We supported our friend and ally in Israel. And we had energy at all-time record low prices. Biden came in, and to Jay's point earlier, just kind of undid it because that's what Trump and Pompeo did, a bad idea for America. We shouldn't be dipping into the SPR. We should be dipping into the ground below our feet, providing American energy, affordable American energy for every American, and then helping the world by exporting it and creating enormous jobs and wealth here at home, too. The Greens have lost their mind. They've hurt America, and President Biden has bought into every bit of that.
Mike, we got less than a minute left. I want to ask you this. We're 13 days out. How do you see things right now going at the House and Senate?
It feels great. I've been out just about every day the last 12, 13 months, campaigning with candidates, meeting with school board leaders, folks who are running for district attorney. It feels really good, Jay. The American people can see that they are worse off with the Democrats in charge of the House, the Senate, and the White House. And I think the American people are going to flip that, both the House and the Senate. And I think we're going to win state elected offices, district attorneys, school boards, all across America.
You know, I felt the same way. I've been in three states in like 5 days. And the Senate, I get the same sentiment. And Virginia, Florida, you could tell things are definitely moving towards the Republicans, I think, on this election. Mike Pompeo, former Secretary of State, and of course our senior counsel, thanks for being with us. As always, appreciate your insights. You know, we have people on our team like Mike Pompeo. I mean, think about this. We have two members of the cabinet from the previous administration on our team, and John Ashcroft, former Attorney General of the United States, is one of our fellows.
That's right. And coming up next, joining us live, Senator Marsha Blackburn, a great friend of ours, Senator from Tennessee. Again, on politics. You don't want to miss it. Share it with your friends and family. All right, welcome back to SecHill. We are joined by a great friend of ours, Senator Marsha Blackburn of Tennessee, my home state. And I love a tweet sent out this morning. Unfortunately, it's true that Senator Blackburn sent out that the jump in Halloween candy in Biden's economy, the price is, again, up 13%. For Halloween candy, gives trick-or-treaters a scare. She's joining us now. And Senator Blackburn, I think it's just demonstrative of what we're all seeing every day when we go to the store and we're purchasing something right now. This is the time of year where we start getting towards holidays as well. People start trying to figure out Christmas plans, Thanksgiving plans, even Halloween plans and Halloween costumes. And the candy being up 13% is just very telling about where we are in our economy.
That is so very true. And when you think about Halloween candy being up 13% and what that is going to do to family budgets as they get ready for fall festivals and carnivals and trick-or-treating. And this is a time where it really kind of hits home, like you were saying. People are rounding the corner on Halloween. They're preparing for Thanksgiving. They're thinking about what they're going to do for Christmas. You already have surveys out. The Wall Street Journal has an article on how people are buying less. They've already started buying differently, but now they're already buying less when they go to the grocery store. And the impact this is going to have on children and families and how this does affect the pocketbook. How parents are saying, well, which one of us needs to go get an extra job so that we can work ourselves through the next few months? Because when you look at the basket of goods that people buy and what they're spending their money on, in Tennessee, the average family is going to spend an extra $7,300 this year just to stay even where they were. That is no extra anything. And then you say, okay, you've still got the same amount of bills that you've got to pay, the mortgage, the car payment, the utilities, some of those have gone up. But then it's like you've got $7,300 less to pay that same group of bills.
You know, Senator, this Jay, it's interesting to say that because people that run businesses, and large and small, the problem is the cost of operating your business has also gone up, and I call it disproportionately. So when you've got individuals that are trying to, you know, feed their family, like you said, I mean, my wife said yesterday that she, when she was at the grocery store, a bottle of ketchup was $8. Nothing against the ketchup, but I mean, it's just the prices have gone astronomical in Tennessee. Like you said, gas is now back over in a lot of places over $5 a gallon. So we know that there's problems here, but we need to talk solutions. People want to know what can be done in Washington to correct this. And part of that is getting control of the House and Senate so we can stop some of this madness.
Well, you're right about that. And we've got 13 days to go before the midterm elections. And Republicans taking control of the House and Senate will help us to put a damper on this aggressive attitude that the Biden administration has when it comes to running up the cost of everything. And one of the main things that we can do that you will see us do immediately, Jay, is to freeze federal spending, federal hiring, federal salaries, because that will stop the flow of some of this money back into the economy, passing that $1.9 trillion stimulus package. You look at the $6 trillion extra that they have spent in the past 2 years. That's on top of regular federal spending. And you even have states now like California that are sending out another round of unemployment checks. We need people back to work. We need the federal government to rein in its spending. We need to move back to producing energy domestically, so that we once again become energy independent, energy dominant, and stop relying on dictators for the oil and gas that we need.
You know, Senator Blackburn, as well, you know, as you're traveling not just Tennessee, but around the country too, and working on taking back the U.S. Senate, I would imagine that it really doesn't matter if you're in Tennessee or the Northeast or the Midwest, or even we're starting to see the Pacific Northwest, some of these races, the concerns people have, number one is the economy. Number two is crime. Of course, the illegal immigration kind of works into both of those and the border crisis. And yet the Democrats, it just seems like their strategy is let's distract with every issue possible. If it's abortion, if it's education, what we're teaching our kids, it's like everything but the issues are actually affecting people's pocketbooks and what they're thinking about every day.
Well, that is right. They do try to distract. But when I was in Virginia and Arizona last week, I have been in Georgia, Minnesota, and Iowa. I'm in Iowa today. So that's where I've been this week. And I hear the same thing. It is inflation. It's the pocketbook. It is that open southern border with fentanyl and drugs coming over the border. It is crime in our communities. It is the push back on school boards and teachers unions and parents that want to take control of their child's education. And the good thing is people are showing up and they are planning to vote.
I do think that the voter enthusiasm is extremely high. Here's the question. You've got this, your branch of government within the legislative branch, but specifically the Senate's very close. I feel like the momentum is going our way. What's your sense?
I think it is going our way. When you look at how close some of these races are that were not supposed to be close, Tiffany Smiley and Leora Levy. Tiffany's in Washington State. Leora is up in Connecticut. They're both at about 2, 3, 4 points from their competitor. You've got Laxalt ahead in Nevada. You've got in Arizona with Blake Masters has tied up that race with Mark Kelly. You've got Carrie Lake that's going to win that gubernatorial race. We're going to win Missouri. We're going to win Ohio. After last night's debate in Pennsylvania, Dr. Oz is going to win that Pennsylvania race. We're going to win North Carolina. Joe O'Day has managed to tie up that Senate race out in
Colorado,
Georgia. The enthusiasm for Herschel Walker has been tremendous. For your listeners in Georgia, I don't know of many people in Georgia that agree with Chuck Schumer 96% of the time, that agree with Joe Biden 96% of the time. But Raphael Warnock is voting with Joe Biden 96% of the time.
Senator Blackburn, we appreciate it as always. You're a good friend of ours and do great representing all of us. We appreciate it so much.
Great insight. Thank you, Senator Blackburn. And folks, again, just to show you what we can bring you every day on this broadcast, what we're going to do as we get close to those elections, and we're talking to people who are all around the country at the highest levels of the campaigns. These are U.S. senators and former Secretary of States that are working it to get America back on track. Keeping those really tough schedules to get the right people elected. And we're getting reports right on the ground from them. We appreciate Senator Blackburn taking time to talk. to us. We appreciate you joining us. Now, we want you to be part of the show. Call us 1-800-684-3110. What do you think about these races?
Keeping you informed and engaged now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
So after that, I want to hear from you folks at 1-800-684-3110. We had a packed first half hour of the broadcast with Secretary Pompeo and Marsha Blackburn, both traveling the country, talking about different races, where we are in these races. And I think it's very important that we want to hear from you as well. What are you seeing on the ground? And of course, one of the issues we're going to focus on as we get to the next segment of the broadcast is play some of that Oz Fetterman debate. There were other debates last night, too. I mean, you see Tudor Dixon. I was kind of flipping around between the two, and Tudor Dixon and Gretchen Whitmer. I mean, it would be great to send Gretchen Whitmer packing from the governor's mansion in Michigan.
Looking at those numbers right now, is it
tied? And she's claiming, schools are only closed 3 months. What she's not counting is virtual. So, I mean, the fact is that Michigan dropped to, I think it's in the bottom 10 states in the country of education. That's not where they were. And they were one of the top states that kept schools closed the longest. They just did whatever the teachers' unions wanted. And these kids were trying to do virtual learning. We know that didn't work. I mean, now we know. We're starting to get all the statistics on that. So you're starting to see, I think, that mom vote that we talk about?
Huge.
That's what they care about. Their kids' education. A lot more than Roe versus Wade. At this point, if your kid is not being educated, your kid is not going to school. So we're going to talk about that. Lee Zeldin took it to Hochschild. That race is getting very
neck and neck. They're saying New York, because New York has had Republican governors, by the way,
recently. Yes, attacking.
Right. So very possible,
especially when it's these kind of situations. Bad economy. They're losing. The state is losing. Even New York City is losing population. The crime is going up. The feeling is just of uncertainty is very high in those places. Yep. And again, so you're seeing races that were on the radar, but they were not the top tier races that have now been moved. Look, the more races that get moved to top tier for Republicans are, the more victories you're going to see
in
elections.
Because the percentages at that point are right with you. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. Real Battleground States, Pennsylvania. Ray's calling. He's online, too. Hi, Ray.
Hi, how you doing today? My question slash comment would be, even if the Republicans take back both houses, my concern would be, how much could they actually get done over the next 2 years with Biden having veto power? And other than the possibility of Republican governors winning their races, how much will get done? And if things do not go the way they should, who gets the blame?
So let me tell you this. Two words. Supreme Court. Because the president nominates with the advice and consent of the United States Senate. So if there were to be a vacancy in the Supreme Court or even the courts of appeals, there's right there is reason to vote. You saw the impact of that in this last term.
I give you two more just right away.
A big case coming up
actual
there.
Examples. The IRS funding has not actually gone out the door.
Right.
Lindsey Graham's talked about how they could, if the Senate goes Republican and the House goes Republican, they have the power of the purse. They don't have to appropriate those funds, which means no new 80,000 IRS agents or 87,000 IRS agents. That money could be stopped from going out the door. So that's part two. Part three is there's not going to be any more Green New Deal spending bills because none of that's going to move through. So you don't have to worry about the veto power because no bad legislation is going to get to his desk. If he wants to do anything, he's going to have to compromise with Republicans. It's not to say that everything will be fixed. I don't want to overplay it, but don't underplay it. Don't underplay the power. And by the way, the investigatory power. For those of you who have been like, what the Hunter Biden stuff, the Chinese stuff, the why are we not securing the border? All of that. The investigative power, when you combine both the House and the Senate, should not be underrated either. Look what the Democrats have done. Spending their time on January 6th committees and all of that. That will all be done. And Republicans will decide where they want to focus in on investigations. So there's a lot that can be done, especially you take back both chambers, take back the House and the Senate. And so you put a halt to everything, all the horrendous policies. But you also, if anything wasn't appropriated,
you could stop it.
You can keep the money from going out the door.
Folks, this is why when anybody's telling you, oh, your vote doesn't matter, guess what? Your vote matters and makes a big difference. We encourage you to do that. We're not going to tell you who to vote for. We're going to tell you to vote.
Welcome back to Secular. We are taking your phone calls to 1-800-684-3110. I want to actually take a call right off the bat. Then we're going to get into Oz Fetterman. But this is a call from Pennsylvania. So we get a little insight, too, from Amy in Pennsylvania on line four. Hey, Amy, just right off the bat, let me ask you what you thought of last night's debate.
It was super awkward. I'm definitely somebody who does not like to watch awkward live. So I did just go back and watch the clips, but it was very hard to watch, and it was really sad to watch.
I agree with you. If I was anyone connected to Fetterman, I wouldn't have let him go on that stage, and that's 100%. Just taking politics out of it. But go ahead with your comment.
Yeah, so one, I just wanted to say I've been listening to you guys since I was a kid, so it's an honor to talk to you for sure. But also, what we're really seeing out here in Pittsburgh is a big shift of especially moms who really took the last 2 years to get incredibly educated and started to show up in whether it has to do with the school board, whether it has to do on the local level, and being able to help these campaigns, but also like knowing what your rights are. There's a lot of little organizations that are getting together and grouping together and going through constitutional law and trying to really understand what are our rights so that they stop being taken away. And I think that's what the struggle has been for so long is we are losing rights because we don't know the rights that we have. And so, again, it goes back to knowing your rights and then grouping together to be able to feel confident in fighting back on these things. And it's happening here in the Pittsburgh area, and it's kind of a breath of fresh air.
You know, we did our first booklet we ever did was Knowing Your Rights. And it started with the school boards, which are now the center of attack. For all of these issues. And that's why we want to hear from you today at 800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. Because the school board used to be the place we told parents, engage first at the school board. Yeah. Because that's the local, that's where
elected officials start out.
Correct. Do you know, even in conservative counties, you would be surprised
people don't run.
How many people that end up on these school boards don't share the values of the community they're representing because people don't run for school board. It's like I tell you the other sleeper race, the district attorney and the state attorney general. When I say sleeper race, they have huge influence and huge impact. And sometimes they just get totally overlooked.
Yeah.
They should not be overlooked.
I think what Amy said is awesome. And I think that being in that probably same around the same age category as Amy and with young kids, I see it every day. Now, I'm in Tennessee, like we were talking about, it's a pretty red state, so it's a little bit different of what we're used to and expected. We have people like Marsha Blackburn, Bill Hagerty represents the U.S. Senate and the House. We've got great House members, and we're going to probably gain more Republican House members in this election cycle. So, but to see it in Pennsylvania, as a state I worked in politically, if that's kind of organizing is on the ground, and what Amy is seeing is happening, you know, throughout the state, then, you know, I think that's why these polls are trending towards Oz, even in a state that is highly divided politically. And it has been. I want to play some sound because, as Amy said, it was tough. I watched it last night, went through that full hour. It was a long hour because not because of Dr. Oz, because of Fetterman. I don't know. Whoever let him do that, shame on them. Shame on them. And if it's the family that didn't pull it, if it's the pressure from the Democrat campaign committees, they misled the public because they said, you know, he's really just having hearing issues. And here's an example of this not being a hearing issue. The moderator asked just a very straightforward question on fracking. It's a huge issue there. And we know these far left liberals like Fetterman, they're usually opposed to fracking. He now says he supports it, but he couldn't answer the question, which they have him on record saying he's against it. Now for it, and he wasn't even able to connect that dot. Take a listen to Bite 2 first.
I do want to clarify something. You're saying tonight that you support fracking, that you've always supported fracking, but there is that 2018 interview that you said, quote, I don't support fracking at all. So how do you square the two?
I do support fracking, and I support fracking, and I stand, and I do support fracking.
Okay, let me play the flashback, though, just okay. So you guys know that wasn't an unfair question. That was
people were criticizing.
When you change positions and you've been on the record, you get asked about that in debates. That's just basic.
Yep.
Bite eight. Take a listen. This is him in 2018.
Every single message I got was asking to clarify your stance on fracking.
Yeah, fracking. No, I don't support fracking at all, and I never have.
Okay, so let me say two things here. Okay,
you know, wasn't able to contrast even his switch on that.
Here's the problem. You said it, and you said it correctly. This is just being human beings here and being compassionate people. Okay, why would your family have you do that debate? I mean, I know it's politics, and politics is very raw right now, and politics
and
is very aggressive.
His whole
but my goodness, okay,
yeah,
I get all that.
That's all.
But
he
you know,
is.
This is. I feel terrible what his family's going through, what he's gone through. But why would you do it? So, of course, it doesn't help you politically, but it's more, let's just go to the humanity of it. Have we reached a point, and I think the answer is yes to this, that the polarization of politics is so significant that when you have a life-altering event, you have to be so concerned about R versus D, or D versus R, that you're willing to put yourself up in that situation. That would be like arguing a Supreme Court case after having a stroke.
Yeah, I mean, it's this kind of stakes are that high. We're talking about the balance of power of the United States Senate. But you know, if you look at the background of him, and I mean, you got to blame the family too. His wife let him go up there. She didn't tell the campaign hacks no. And they misled people by saying it was about hearing, and it wasn't cognitive. And then you know, Joe Scarborough's getting killed today in the media because he even said like, obviously this is not just a hearing issue anymore. And it's not to say you can't recover from a stroke. People do that all the time. But it takes significant time. You don't have to put someone out there to embarrass them when they don't even really know what they're doing. I mean, I don't think when you looked in his eyes,
it wasn't there.
He didn't know what was going
and
on. I think they may have been trying to trap Oz to make him look like a jerk,
because
which he didn't, by the way.
He did not. But boy, tough situation to be in.
Yeah, because it makes you want to go when he says like I've always supported fracking.
No, you didn't want to double down on it, but he didn't. No, I think that was to Oz. I think whoever did his debate prep did a good job, because in a situation like this, you have to be careful, because if you come off looking like a bully, it backfires. Having said all of this, the truth of the matter is, and this is why we're going to open our phone lines up, 1-800-684-3110. If you're in a battleground state, which is every state right now, give us a call, 800-684-3110. We want to know how things are with you. But I'll tell you what the thing is. Having said all that about the debate and how Oz, I thought, did a very good job. He was going to be in the broadcast on Friday. Yep. We reached out to the Fetterman campaign, too. Are we in process of doing that now, Will?
Sending an email
today. Yes, sir. So we're going to give him, if he wants to come on, we'd like to ask him some questions. We'll be respectful of the situation. Having said all of that, and the debate was great, and it was a good night for Dr. Oz, which is a good day for the Republicans. Here's the problem. Does it matter in a polarized political environment like this, or is there enough still independents and undecideds, Jordan, that maybe
Democrats who saw that last night said, you know what, there's something wrong with our party here, put this guy forward, put his family forward. Even they may have they may have still voted for him if he didn't debate. But I think they may be questioning judgment issues around putting him forward in that setting when you could have easily said he can't do it. He's barely able to go on the campaign trail and make speeches that are pre-planned. He can't answer questions right now. And he had a real reason to not do it. They took that risk, pushing him out there. And so they're going to have to live with the consequences of that. What I hope the consequences of that is that he gets beat very handedly. And his family says, you know what? This was pretty sick what we just put him through. A Rumble comment came, you know, the fact that his Dems and his campaign allowed Fetterman in that condition to go on TV was a disgrace.
So was his family letting him do
that
too.
That could affect.
But his family shouldn't have done that either.
No, they could have. His wife could have been the final say on that.
Said, we're not doing it.
Yeah.
Well, what would happen if they said, we're not doing it? That would have been it.
I think, you know.
Would it move the needle any politically? I don't think so.
No, I think you get a little beat up, and people would have said, okay, obviously they were misleading about how bad a situation
is. Which is not going to change many Democratic votes.
No, but now putting him up there last night may have, because you're not even sure where. He just said now he supports fracking. A lot of Democrats don't.
Yeah, I know. I don't.
So, like, how do you how do you judge it?
I watched it. It was interesting to me because I felt like it was sad, actually. The whole thing was sad. All right, now there's also been another change. The progressive left is getting hit pretty hard. We're going to take this. We're taking your calls as well, 800-684-3110. Here's my simple question for you in this last segment. How do you feel the races are going in your state, especially when they're contested states? Georgia, we're all over Georgia. Pennsylvania, you know, obviously. Ohio, Nevada. 1-800-684-3110. The phone lines are open. We'll take your calls, 800-684-3110. Obviously, folks, in the next 13 days, we're going to be giving you a lot of analysis on all of these issues because this is a very critical midterm. The control of the House and the Senate's at stake. 1-800-684-3110. Don't forget, support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org. Got a case filed at the Supreme Court of the United States. We'll be filing another brief on that one end of November. So a lot of activity going on right now at the ACLJ. 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us on air. If you want to support our work, aclj.org. Back with more in a moment.
All right, 1-800-684-3110. If you want to be part of the show, you got to call it right now. 1-800-684-3110. So we're going to talk about, again, we'll get into, on the Secular Brothers podcast today, we'll get into a little bit more of the Oz Fetterman debate. But as I told you, you know, and we're going to have Oz on this week on Secular.
Can I say something about the Secular Brothers podcast? If you're not watching it or downloading it on your podcast, you need to. It is fantastic. It's 3 days a week. It generally runs about, 40 minutes to an hour, I think, is kind of the way it goes, depending on the conversation. It's serious. It's funny at the same time. It covers a lot of content, but it's also done in a upbeat way. And you can get it wherever you get your podcasts. So Spotify, Apple, everywhere. Of course, on Facebook, Rumble, of course, features it, as well as YouTube. But we really encourage you, secularbrothers.com, and that's Jordan and Logan's podcast. It's great. I listen to it every night when I get back to the house. I listen to it, and it's really getting great reviews. We encourage you to do it, secularbrothers.com.
Yeah. So what we wanted to hit on this, which was a letter that went out yesterday from the House Progressive Caucus, 30 members, including all of the ones you know well, Jai Pell, who of course oversees it, Ilhan Omar, Ro Khanna, Sheila Jackson Lee, Presley. I don't want to leave any out of these. Tlaib, was AOC on this one? I don't know if she was on this one. Yeah, she's on this one, of course. Sandy's on there. This was a letter, interestingly enough, Cori Bush. So 30 of the 100 members and the most high-profile members. It was a letter to President Biden saying, listen, we've been supporting this effort in Ukraine. We've supported all your funding bills, even though we're like the far-left progressives that they're anti-war. But we've about had enough. Respectfully, will you please start negotiating with Russia to help bring a settlement to this conflict?
Without Ukraine involved.
Yeah, and they quoted Zelensky as saying, ultimately this has to be handled diplomatically.
Yeah.
That letter was sent to the White House and recalled.
Unbelievable.
Within 24 hours. So who is really the warmongers? The radical left.
Yeah.
They're now part of that group, too. So I think that's why when you saw Tulsi Gabbard leave the Democrat Party, there is no space left for someone who says, can we question how much we're spending with our military? Can we? It was like Elon Musk saying, can we just negotiate it into this killing and figure out what we do with Crimea and some of those regions in the Donbass with the UN monitored vote? And he got attacked and cursed at by diplomats from around the world. The fact that these progressives won't stand up for them, that shows you now. They've been bought by the party.
100%. And then they had to recall it. All right, we're taking your calls as we said we would. 1-800-684-3110. We're also going to get comments in as well. 800-684-3110. Let's go take a phone call first.
Yeah, Chris in Pennsylvania on line two. Hey, Chris.
Hey, how are you guys today?
We're great.
Good, good. Thank you for all that you do.
Thanks.
First things first. And second of all, I'm from Lancaster, and it's a very conservative area. And I just wanted to add something to your point. I believe that the Democrats that really weren't paying attention and kind of you see a couple of the Fetterman signs. I think last night was really, it made it very clear what they are voting for, or a little unclear with that matter. But I really think it needed to happen that way. I think people needed to see that in action. And for those Democrats that were sort of questioning, and also to your point about maybe letting their family, you know, whatever, I don't think we have that great of an example right now in the White House either. So, I mean, what, you know, people think it's okay to push people through.
So, Chris, you know, yes, it's very similar to the Joe Biden stuff, like the pushing him out there.
Yeah, but worse.
What he said, but yes, but worse because this guy just had an actual stroke.
Yeah.
He's a young guy who could have said, you know,
I can't do this.
I will, you know, and could make statements like, if I'm elected and I don't recover the way I need to, I will resign.
Yeah.
And be replaced likely by, you know.
So Chris Lancaster, which is one of our favorite parts of Pennsylvania, great part of the state, and you're right, conservative. But the key is going to be getting people out to vote, because the reality is that race, even after this debate, my prediction is too close to call.
Oh, definitely. Definitely too close to call. I mean, I think it's leading odds now.
Yeah, I'd say that's right.
But the polls are barely picking that up, and they're just not, it's going to be, it's turnout.
Yeah. All right. Taking your calls, 800-684-3110. Bob is calling from New York. Hi, Bob.
How you doing, sir? Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate all that you guys are doing for us. My question is why has nothing been said about Chuck Schumer being up for re-election against Joe Pinion?
You know, it's interesting because Real Clear Politics, Will just pointed this out, had it previously listed as safe Democratic seat to likely Democratic seat.
Yeah.
That still...
He's up 13 points in most polls now. So when you're up in double digits, that's why it doesn't get as much attention. Usually until you get into the five-ish range, that's when people start paying attention, because that's when you're getting into margin of error.
Now, Zeldin's race.
But that's what I was about to talk about.
Could affect everything.
If Zeldin pulls out a victory... Now, and listen, New York is one of those states where people have... There's not many states like it. But there are states, it is one of those states where people will vote Republican one way and Democrat one way. And I don't think that they're ringing the alarm for Chuck Schumer. At that point, if we're watching and Chuck Schumer goes down, remember when Tom Daschle went down that election night? It was, I think, John Thune. Yep. That was when everybody was like, whoa. You know, those kind of moments can happen. But that's when you're talking about post, not just a wave, that's tsunami style.
But the Zeldin race is close enough that Zeldin could pull it out.
Oh, yeah. He's a friend of ours. He's going to get a lot more money.
Yeah, he's a friend of ours. And if he wins by, you know, plus three or four, that could definitely have an effect.
Yeah, and the state needs a turnaround. They need to change. And it's again, instead of focusing on abortion and trans issues, what they need is focusing on jobs, economy, and especially crime.
You know, it's interesting. We just got a comment on Rumble, the fact that the Democrats in his campaign allowed Lieutenant Governor Fetterman to appear in the condition that it was a disgrace. It really was. I thought it was horrible. I think his family should not have done that either. Let's take another call, 800-684-3110.
Hey, Mike, calling from North Carolina. Ted Budd also looks like a race.
Good race.
That's a hold for Richard Burr, who's retiring.
Pennsylvania's just a hold, too.
Yes. I mean, we're talking about some of these, but these are... holds that are not easy necessarily, but Bud has also kind of moved past that point of people being as concerned. Mike, what do you think about that race?
Bud's in good shape. My local congressional race is looking good. I wanted to make a point about
where are you in North Carolina?
I'm just south of Greensboro.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. About an hour north of Charlotte.
Yep.
So I wanted to make a point about the lower level races. I was telling the screener that, you know, I have never really paid that much attention to, like, local school board and other races. And this year, you better believe I'm doing my research on school board candidates.
Smart.
And I would encourage every voter across the country to research their school board and lower-level nonpartisan race candidates. Definitely do your research. I will be doing that from here on forward. Thanks,
you. That's awesome, Mike. We've always encouraged that. You know, I live in a district that it's likely going to go Republican congressional district because of redistricting, which is a big change. But it's still got a lot of Democrats because we're near the city of Nashville. But there were a couple of school board races. So I voted back in the primary. I noticed, hey, there's a couple of Republicans running in these races. It's not just all D down the list. So, yeah, pay attention to that. Even if you were in a place where usually before you were voting, there weren't a lot of other options, there might be more options this time around because more people did decide to run for those seats. And so check it out. You got time.
Listen, it's same thing true with the attorney generals. State attorney generals are very, very important. Secretary of States are important too, but those local school boards. But folks, get out there and vote. Don't buy into this, oh, it's not going to matter. It matters. Okay? It makes a big difference. All right. Support the work of the ACLJ, aclj.org. We'll talk to you tomorrow.